In our lives, I believe we get frustrated when we're not giving back the blessings to God and to others. In fact, we could even get consumed with our problems. We could even get distracted with everyday life if we ourselves are not doing what God has said in His Word, and that is to be a blessing with the blessings that He has given to each of us. Now, I know what some might say. Well, what blessings do I have? I'm nobody special. You don't know what I'm going through right now. In fact, I'm useless to God. I wouldn't say that to anybody, but that's how I feel in my heart. I might look like I have it together, but deep down inside, how has God blessed me? Well, I want to direct you to God's Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. A great verse as Paul was writing to the churches in the region of Ephesus. He was reminding them of how truly rich they were in Christ. And I like that because I don't know if I'll ever be rich in a material sense in this life, and I don't know if you'll ever be. If you are, make sure you tell me, okay? But the truth of the matter is, we are reminded in God's Word, especially here in the book of Ephesians, that we are rich in Christ. And so this is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And you could circle that in your notes. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We need to realize something this morning. That God has made us and He has blessed us. He has blessed us for a divine reason. You might ask, what has He blessed me with? He's blessed each and every one of us with the opportunity to hear about His amazing grace. He's blessed each and every one of us in this church this morning with the opportunity to feel the compassion of His unconditional love. And all of us woke up this morning to a new day, and God has renewed His mercies this morning. And so, as we journey through this great message series, we have been blessed personally. But God said some thousands of years ago to a man by the name of Abraham, that Abraham, even though you have no children, even though you're doing well in life, but you are a nobody, basically. Even though you come from a long line of idolaters. Abraham, I'm calling you to take a step of faith and to leave the land of which you are from. And I want you to go to a new place because, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 12, verse 2. This is our theme verse for our whole series. God said this to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and you shall be a blessing. Could you say that with me? I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. See, there's God's plan for our lives. God has blessed us, not that we just sit here and go, God, give me more. See, I believe a lot of times in our Christian life, we're too busy with our hand out wanting more from God, and God is saying, I've already given it to you. You've got to open up your eyes. God, I need more peace. When are you going to bless me with peace? And God says, I already said through my Son, I'm leaving you my peace. Oh, God, my heart is troubled and I don't feel you with me. But didn't Jesus already say, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me and believe also in the Father. Oh, God, I feel like you don't forgive me and my sins are always going to follow me even into eternity. And did not God say in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Truly, we have been blessed. And then you start to consider the talents that you have. You might think that you're not good at anything, but I found something out in life. Everybody's a 10 in something. There is something that you do very well. Well, I lie very well. Oh, that's not the thing we're talking about. Well, I steal really good. I'm a con artist. No, well, you got to give that over to the Lord. Okay. But there is a talent that you have that other people might say it's a character defect. But on the contrary, maybe you are concerned about the details because God has called you to be a leader in the church. Maybe you're a good baker and God wants to use you to bake and make the church be a welcoming place with refreshments. Maybe you're great with children and God wants to use you to mold the lives of our precious little innocent ones. Maybe you're good at sports. Maybe you're good with technical things. Maybe you're good with sewing. And the list goes on of the ways that God has blessed you with. And then, when you've become a believer in Christ, God gives you spiritual gifts. So you have natural talents from birth. The spiritual gifts that God gives you, my friends, you are a walking blessing, regardless of what anybody else has told you. And so we have a choice to make. Do we just stay in an immature state as a church, as a people, as a believer, in the consuming stage of life? God bless me. God do for me. Or do we take a step of faith like Abraham did and say, God, I want to go from being a consumer to being a contributor? My friends, I'm speaking to myself when I give this message. God has called us all. He's equipped us all. He's put it in our hearts. He's put it in our feet. He's given us another day to live today. Some did not wake up this morning. He has blessed us with the breath in our lungs. So as long as we draw breath, we need to say, God, you've blessed me so I can be a blessing. What a contrary thought to our life today, serving and being a blessing. As I shared with you last week, our culture defines this totally differently. People determine your greatness in this life by how many people serve you. But when we get to heaven, our greatness will be determined by how many people we serve here on earth. And until we grab hold of this biblical truth, that number one, God loves us. We might have problems. We might have sins. We might have issues. But we have a God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And that's just not a pep talk you hear on Easter. My friends, that needs to be a culture, a way of life for us, that we realize that we have been blessed with a second chance, a new nature, and a new life. And no matter what problems we are facing, even if they're ones that we bring upon ourselves, the grace of God, the unconditional love, and His mercies that renew each day are the spiritual blessings that Paul was talking about. And the mandate has been given that we've been blessed and we're to be a blessing. I believe if we as a church can do this together, we will grow spiritually and numerically. I believe that if you as a believer in your home could wrap your heart around this truth, you will see spiritual growth in your life. You will see spiritual breakthrough in your life. Not because you did one of these get-rich-quick spiritual schemes that we see some people throw at you. But rather, you buckled down and you said, God, you love me unconditionally. And the only reasonable response is for me to be a blessing in return, for me to bless you, and for me to bless other people. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to share with you all of the ways we can do that. But today's a special day. As you know, for the last 2 years, our church has been privileged to go on overseas mission trips. And a lot of you are familiar with that because you've given to it. You've prayed for it. Some of you have went on the trips. We have had the great opportunity to partner with several churches named Crossroads that are in our network. And we've gone over there the last 2 years to provide love and care to children, to share the message of the gospel, to provide leadership, to provide help to the ladies in the churches, to provide help to the men in the community. And you might say, why do we have to travel thousands of miles to go share the gospel? Why can't we just be concerned with our little spot of real estate here on Staten Island? Well, why? Because God has said that we have been blessed with the Holy Spirit so that we could go bless others and tell them the truth. Now, this telling the truth of who God is and His greatness, the same love you know, the same grace you know, we have been commanded in God's Word to go tell it to people. Now, not shove it down their throats, but in a loving, compassionate way. We do that two ways. We do that locally, meaning in our homes and in the community. I'm going to share that with you more about that in a few weeks, so we'll come back to that. What I want to do today is I want to focus on how we can share the message globally. How God has called us as a church to have a global mindset. For us not to wait till all one day when the cash rolls in, then we'll start caring about those overseas. Oh, one day when we have a gazillion people, then we'll start worrying about the people overseas. No, Jesus said at the inception of the church, day one, He said to go. How do we know that? We have what's called the Great Commission. It's found in all four Gospels at the end. At the bottom of your notes, I gave you the footnotes of that. We don't have time to go through it all today. But the very last scripture we have of Jesus before He ascended to the Father, He said these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask all... Actually, let's save us some time. Let's all of us read this verse together. It is a powerful verse. The words of Jesus Christ to His disciples, the mandate for you and I to be a blessing, to share our faith locally and abroad. This is what Jesus said, and Dr. Luke records it. Look what it says. Let's read it together, starting with verse 8. Here we go. Write in your notes and on the screen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Day one of the church, Jesus was drawing the line in the sand, and He was saying this: everybody's important. Don't wait till you get it all together. If your heart beats, if you've been covered in My blood, if you believe in My holy name, you are a believer in Me, and I'm giving you something that's going to help you have the courage, have the knowledge, have the compassion to be this type of a blessing. And so if you look on your notes, I've broken it down for you. You see this, and it says, but you shall receive power. Doesn't that sound familiar? When God was speaking to Abraham, you shall be a blessing. Look what He says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, circle that, when the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what we have been blessed with. That's what all of us have been blessed with. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, at the moment you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It serves a multifaceted purpose. First and foremost, it seals the deal. You can never lose your salvation. That is a fundamental teaching we have here at Crossroads Church. If you couldn't do anything to earn it, you can't do anything to lose it. Okay, you with me? It doesn't take brain science to figure that one out. And I'll take God at His word. Once saved, always saved. The guarantee is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit does a number of other things, doesn't it? It helps you pray when you can't pray when you're in a trial. It helps you do the right thing because we're all stupid and jacked up in our minds and we all give in to temptation. The Holy Spirit motivates us to serve the Lord. The Holy Spirit equips us with the gifts to serve God. And the Holy Spirit was the power by which God gave to the church to share the message. And so the gift is the Holy Spirit, that's the blessing. And then scroll down a little bit more with your eyes. It says, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Circle that word, witnesses. That's how we are to be a blessing. And that's what has been going on the last 2 years. Our church has taken a mission trip to Fortaleza, Brazil. In just a moment, I'm going to have a clip, a slideshow play, and then I'm going to have the team come up, and we're going to talk with them. And we have gone to Brazil because God says here in His Word to the othermost parts of the earth. We'll talk about Samaria, Judea, and Jerusalem, which is locally, regionally, and nationally in a few weeks. But God said, go to the othermost parts of the world. We as a church would not be doing our job if we were just concerned locally. We need to have a global mindset. We need to have membership. We need to have leaders. We need to have people who are burdened with the cause of the gospel around the globe. And so, how are we a blessing? To be a witness. Jesus didn't say, you can become a witness. He said, you're already the witnesses. So the bigger question is, how effective is your witness? How much are you burdened with the unsaved? Do you care that your relatives or co-workers or people around the globe don't have the peace that you have in your heart from knowing Jesus Christ? My friends, we've been called to be witnesses. That is how we bless God. Simply put, in a beautiful song that's decades old, people need the Lord. We have to realize that. Just look around. You know, we can choose to get angry with how we're treated when we go to the stores because of the lack of customer service. We can choose to get angry when we see how sometimes our children are treated by teachers or leaders. We can choose to get angry by the things that we see around us. Or we can have some spiritual insight and see that people need the Lord. That truth right there will help you even in your home when you want to strangle your husband or your wife or your kids or your mother or your father. People need the Lord. They need His love. They need His mercy. And we have been called to be the witnesses of those things. People need the Lord. We're going to watch this slideshow of the Brazil trip. And then the team is going to come up. And we're going to ask them some questions so you can hear about the trip of 2008 and how we could together as a church be praying, because, my friends, we have been blessed by God with the Holy Spirit, and we have been called to be a blessing to share the good news. Watch these clips, and then we'll come back with the team together.
Love, our hearts can't.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have X, the Brazil team, 2008 team, to come on up and make your way, just so nobody trips. So you can go on future mission trips. You're going to come around and exit through the back of the stage. And we're now transitioning now. This welcome to Studio A at Crossroads. But what I'm going to do now is I want you to hear from the team and how God used them and what they did this year over at the mission trip. And you guys can move up a little bit. Now I'm going to move this out of the way because it's important that you see me, right? Just in case you got to throw any tomatoes or anything. You know, you might say, why talk about missions in church? Because it's close to the heart of God. The Bible actually says that God is not willing for one person to perish. And so, as believers, we need to take that seriously. And it's so very important that in our lives, as Christians, we may not necessarily have the opportunity to go overseas and get on a plane and fly 15, 16 hours, maybe more. But we can be praying for what God is doing. And it's important that you as members and those who might be new to the church, you know exactly how the church's heart beats for the Lord with missions. And so, well, welcome. I was getting lonely up here. You know, I first want to say that I'm jealous because I wanted to go with you guys this year, but I was a little preoccupied, okay? I had to coach Jen along. She knew right what she was doing. But what I want to do is I just want to ask you to, based on your, you know what, let me hold this mic. You picking up echo with that. That better? Okay. I want you just to share some of the experiences that you had from the trip, because first of all, you're everyday people. And you sit in the congregation, you have the same struggles everybody else does, and God used you. And so I believe by you sharing, not only are you going to give a good picture about missions and what God's Word says about it, but you're going to show all of us that how God wants to use us to bless other people. And so I want to start with you, Antoinette, if you don't mind. And this year you were given the responsibility, along with your sister, to lead this mission trip. And so can you tell us about that and just give us your perspective from that?
Well, first of all, it's way different being the leader than being a participant. So that was a big difference. But also, I do feel like this year was actually our first mission trip. Even though we went last year, we really, we went at the same time as Crossroads from Noonan. And it really was more like they were kind of in charge, and we were there, and we did things. It wasn't like we just sat in the background and didn't do anything. But I really feel like this year was really Crossroads, Staten Island's first mission trip. That's the way I felt. And because when we arrived, the Atlanta team had been there for a while. They were actually only there a couple days after we came. And I really felt like as soon as they left, it was like God's power really came on our team. And it really became our trip, you know, and that I really felt that really strongly. And I know one thing that we all talked about while we were preparing, there were certain members, and I think everyone felt this at one point, was, why am I doing this? I'm crazy. Why? I can't believe I did this, you know, because as things get closer, you know, it's this great idea. Ooh, I'm going to go to Brazil. You know, it's this wonderful idea. But then when it starts to get closer and, you know, we have to start paying bills and things, it really kind of gets scary. And I know everyone had this feeling of like, oh, my God, I made this huge mistake. What am I doing? I don't belong here. Why am I special? Why am I going? But I know one thing I told the team, and I said it, and I did believe it, but I think especially after the trip, I really truly believe it with 100% that every single person on this team was supposed to go. And every person had such a special reason for being on the team. And if one of the people who wasn't here didn't go on the team, it would not have been successful. So I really truly feel that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was just how we were such a team. And we did everything together. It's almost like we couldn't do anything by ourselves. You know, it's like if one person said, I'm going to go to the beach. Oh, I want to go to the beach too. I want to go to the beach too. So it's like everyone just wanted to do everything together. And I think that was just an outward showing of how we were such of one spirit.
So there was a bonding that was taking place.
And a lot of us didn't, we all did not know each other before we started this. And even though we had meetings, you know, it's, you really don't know someone until you go on a trip with them. So, you know, just the fact that we were such of one mind from the get-go, I think was such a showing that God was truly with us every step that we took.
Amen. Amen. Now you could see God's power and his protection upon the team. And we prayed for you guys for that exact thing. And so we give God thanks for that answer to prayer. Tony, well, first, let me introduce Tony and Barbara are members of Crossroads Mid-Island. And so we're glad that you're here today. And Tony, you had a great experience of going over to a facility that reached out to people who were in need of some rehabilitation and rehab in a Christian environment. Could you share with us just one of your more memorable experiences from being there and what God showed you and what you took from that?
Well, I just want to say hello to everybody. And it's so much. But the one most thing that stays in my heart was I saw so many hurting people in this rehabilitation. And they had nothing. They had no money. They had no one sponsored. They didn't know from day to day how they were going to meet their ends. But the one thing that they had is they depended solely on God. And they were overcoming from addictions and struggles. And as they shared their testimonies with us, it was so impacting in our lives. And as we were able to share with them, we saw how God is working with all of us. And I think as us sometimes that we worry about so many things, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. If anything I could take away from there is that if you put your trust in God, he will rescue you from whatever is hurting, from any addiction, from any, just trust in God. Because when I seen the trust and the faith that these people put in God, it was so inspiring to me. We became a family. We hugged. We sang together. We cried together. We laughed together. You know, as a team, we didn't know each other. We became a family. And I think we're all bonded for life. But with Brazil, we'll always have such a special place in our hearts because we were able to share it, open up in the Word of God and worship together. It was just unbelievable.
Amen. Well, thanks, Tony. And I think it's, I picked something up what Tony was saying, hurting people. That's why we got to go, because there's hurting people everywhere. And we've often said, you know, who better to reach hurting people than people who have hurt themselves and people who have experienced God's grace and his comfort. Sometimes I think we got to put on our religious cloaks and become these angels with halos to do God's work. But God wants to use you. He wants you to be right with him, and he wants you to hear his call. And so we're glad that you went. Now, I understand, Louisa, you also had an experience at the rehab house, and you just want to share with us about that.
I just wanted to share also with the rehab house the same thing as Tony was saying, but also these were such young children, very young, innocent lives that didn't know which way to turn and were influenced by the communities of Brazil and went the wrong way and took the step forward to come to this rehabilitation and chose God and found God and realized that they could let go and be free if they just followed the walk with God and just looked up to God and only trusted all of their fears that they had, because this rehabilitation house was only for a couple of weeks they're going to be in there. They're not going to be there that long. And when they are released from the house, they need to then follow and go on God on their own and know that it's not just their own strength, that they have God's strength with them forever.
Okay. And good. Thank you. Now, you know, Tony, let me ask you this question. Because knowing you and your background, being a correction officer, you and just being your friend and getting to know you, you have a good way with people and you pick up on people. What was maybe one of the things that you noticed that people This was a predominant need that you noticed at the rehab house, say in men or women, whoever you talk with.
Well, I would say the one thing that I picked up first is was all men run by one woman. One woman in the middle of this. And I remembered I gave my wife a cross to share with her, and that we were able to encourage them. But I think they encouraged us so much. But the one thing that I remember is that at the end they had a warrior cry, and they would do this warrior cry, and they became an army for God. And what I was able to share with them was that we are all an army for God. And sometimes our addictions, our hurts, our life experience, why we walk through these valleys in our life, at the time we can't understand them. But I believe, I truly believe in my heart, that when we step out of these valleys, okay, we are able to go forth and give to those who are in the valley. These young men are going to go out there, and they're going to able to take other people out of drug addiction, out of crime. And I've worked in corrections, and I see the dark side of crime and drug addiction. I've experienced some on my own, and I could tell you, it is a very scary and very hard time. But when you can take that and give it to God, you can reinforce it and then come out there. And not only that, your experience will be able to share and give to those who need. I believe that these young men will be able to be soldiers for God, just as I believe our church will and all of us.
Amen. Well, I want to just change the focus. This is when, if we had a TV show, this is when we go to commercial. But no commercials. So we're going to go to a different segue here, and I want to segue to you, Barbara, and I want you to I want to segue to the churches, because we worked with churches when we went there, all of which are in our network, and they're named Crossroads too. So it's pretty awesome to see the logo on their buildings or on their programs. It thrilled my heart to see that. But can you tell us about Pastor Lindenberg's church and just your experiences? What can you share with us about that?
First of all, I want to say, oi, Dios, abençoe. Hello, God bless. Wow. Pastor Lindenberg's church. We visited many churches. I think three or four. And Pastor Lindenberg's church stood out to me the most. It was, I believe, the smallest church. I believe the poorest church, but they were so rich in spirit. Their church is actually out in the street, and it's like dirt roads. And then they put out the chairs outside in the street. And in the middle of service, you have cats going by, you have dogs going by, trucks. But I have to tell you, one of the most awesome thing was the Spirit of the Lord. And just being outside at night and looking up and praise and worship, and just the Spirit of God was awesome in that place. And that church stood out to me the most because it was the poorest, but yet the richest in spirit. And the people there were awesome, happy. I mean, we just had just a joyous, joyous time. And I praise God for the opportunity to be able to go out to Brazil and be blessed and be of blessing to these people as well. It's an experience I will take with me for the rest of my life. And what I want to say to the church here is, if you feel a little tug or a little pull that the Lord may be, you know, telling you, come on, it's your time, just pray about that and don't be afraid. It's an awesome, awesome experience.
Amen. Well, speaking of experiences, Loretta, share with us your experience that you had being over there in Brazil. What could you share with us?
Oh, boy.
Or pick something that sticks out to you.
It's really hard to pick because every day was an experience, and every day I felt the Lord with us and guiding us and protecting us. Put it up a little bit. The last night we were at the church, and we had come before together because we would pray together, and we wanted to give back and serve them because we were served as if we were loved by Jesus. We were served wherever we went, with all the churches there, and they loved us and served us without knowing us. It was the Holy Spirit. It was Christ's love, and I thought we were serving them, but we got served. So to give back, how could you give back? You can't give back in things. You can't give back sometimes even in words. You give back in love and you give back in hugs. You can't give back with materialistic things. And we thought together, we prayed together, and we came up with serving them and doing a foot washing as Jesus served.
Wow.
So we came to serve. We wanted to leave serving them and loving them, and we couldn't do that in our flesh and in our humanness. So we did it through Jesus, and we thought no better way to serve. And as I remember at the end of the service going up there and thinking, what are we thinking? What are we doing? Oh, my God. And we set everything up, and before I knew it, the basins were filled. I was on my knees, and I just started to weep. And we thought maybe a few people would be comfortable because I felt people looking at us like, what are you doing? And everyone came up. Everyone came up. And as they came up, no words were needed. We just cried. Their feet were being washed. They cried. We cried. And then it was reversed, and they wanted to wash our feet back. So that experience and that connection through Christ, I think, will just stay with them and stay with us in love and in spirit. So that's kind of
wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. You know, foot washing found in the Bible, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Like to call that basin theology. That's the best theology to follow. That sounds like an experience of a lifetime that you had. Now, dealing with people and having the opportunity to go and to serve, Maureen, could you share with us? You had a number of opportunities to talk with people and share the Lord with them. I know it's going to be tough, but share with us one that just sticks out in your heart.
Christo Shomo. he was, after the Brazil team left us from Georgia, we were in a bus with them. But when they left, we didn't have need of a bus anymore. We went into a van. So our van driver was Christo Shomo. And I think it was the first night we were with him, I led him to the Lord. And then we started going places every day. And the first time we went out to eat, I looked at the team and I said, wait a minute, this guy's part of our family now. We can't leave him at the gate. We got to invite him in. We have to have him sit and eat with us. And we did everything with this guy. He came everywhere we went. We included him as a member of our family. We paid for his luncheon. We paid for everything with us. He experienced Pentecost with us because it was truly Pentecost with every one of us. We were totally, totally reliant on the Holy Spirit. We knew that we could do nothing in our own strength, that we needed God to lead and guide us, to come before him every day, to worship him, to pray, to confess, to be clean before him. We needed to rely totally on God. And this man saw it. Even when Louisa was in the hospital, he came and prayed in a circle with us. That the day that we left and we said goodbye to him at the airport, we thought that was the end. And we're putting our luggage in, and we turn around, and there's Christo Shomo back again. He paid 10 hei out of his own pocket to park his van so he could come in and be with us because he didn't want to leave us. He didn't want to leave the experience of what he experienced those 4 or 5 days that he was with us. And I'm just overwhelmed by that.
Well, that's incredible. You just see the power of why you to go, why we're to pray here at home for that. Thanks, Maureen, for sharing that. Well, we saved the best for last, okay? Pastor Miles is a two-timer going down to Brazil. And, Miles, I was with you in 2007, and we went to this school where children were being ministered to, where there weren't any churches, weren't any schools for them to go and learn, but there was this one woman who opened up her home. And you guys went back there this year again, so you just want to share with the congregation briefly about that.
Yeah, but before I do that, I just want to brag on this team a little bit. They've been kind of modest, but they were amazing. I mean, each person, I mean, Tony came out at the rehabilitation home just blasting with his testimony, sharing Christ with these men who were broken in spirit. I saw Maureen witnessing, telling people about Christ with boldness. I saw Loretta putting together things with the kids and putting together arts and crafts. And I saw Louisa jumping around with the kids, just coming out of herself, being that person that the kids need to see, that sunshine. And I saw Barbara holding us together. She was like the glue. I thank God for Barbara being here. And then Antoinette, it's amazing just how she just led this team. I mean, this time it was only us. We didn't have Pastor Ray with us, and Joanne led the charge, and it was an amazing thing.
Now, was I voted off the trip this year? I think I feel like it was a secret vote. Are you getting that? That's what I'm sorry. Keep going.
But about the school. The school was unbelievable. We, as you know, we went to the school last year, and they were just starting it. They're starting it in a woman's home, and they were just getting off the ground. Well, this year they made a lot more progress, and when we got there, the most beautiful thing occurred. They met us. There were two parallel lines. And there were little girls. They had little white flowing dresses on, and they had a flower in their hand. And they greeted us with that flower. And as we walked down the center of them, and then they sang a song together, and they also read poetry to us. And it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. And it really felt like a piece of heaven. And seeing these children. And of course, we've said a lot about how much we've received. We did go and we did serve, but as you know that when you serve the Lord, you get so much more back. Mm. And when we went over there, it was just a blessing to be with these young kids and to see just their love for the Lord. And that is a place that we'd like to see this church invest in, to see that school. Be able to grow.
Amen. Well, guys, I just have to say I was so proud of you going over there and receiving the updates through the email and getting calls from you. And I know I speak for all of our church family when we say that we thank God for you and going. And right now what we want to do is just give God the thanks and the praise, and I want to just pray for you. And I want to ask everybody if you can just bow your heads. And close your eyes. We're going to just thank God for this trip, this trip that was taken, and pray for God to continue to keep the doors open, that we would go, and maybe some of you next year in 2009, 2010, 2011, maybe God will tap you on the shoulder to go or to partner up. So let's just come before the Lord together. Father God, I thank you for each team member this year. I thank you for providing for them to go. I thank you for giving them, Lord, this conviction in their heart, even when it was difficult, Lord, long plane rides, health conditions. Father God, the inconvenience of long travel, but you took them through it. And as we can see, it was worth it. And Lord, just as Miles had shared, when you serve the Lord and you give it all you got, you get so much more in return. God, let us all see that. Let us catch that this morning. That we don't lose nothing when we give to you. We don't miss out when we give and serve you, God. Father God, that is the essence of when the floodgates of heaven open up in our lives. Lord God, thank you so much that you first gave so that we can see how to give. And thank you for this team. We pray for the partnership in Brazil. We pray for the churches, their pastors. Lord God, we pray especially for Pastor Lindenberg's church and their family, as their funds are very small. And God, we thank you for this school that ministers to 25 children who have absolutely nothing. Lord God, use us to bless them. We thank you for this team, and we commit this team before you, and we pray for the next team that will come. Lord, we commit all this before you. We consider it a privilege to partner and be on mission with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, guys, you're welcome to exit the stage. Why don't we give them a hand for Sharon? Now, as they leave, we're going to have a video that we're going to show in just a moment about Brazil. And Pastor Miles was just sharing about the school, and we're going to receive our offering after the video. I'm going to come up and pray for our offering, and then the team's going to close us in a song, and we'll be dismissed in just a few more minutes together. But I really want you to keep your attention. This isn't a time to leave out and get a head start on going. You don't want to miss a minute of this service because I believe God's going to speak to your heart. I want to encourage everybody here today to partner up by praying. And you got those prayer cards in your bulletin this morning. Take that home and put it on your mirror. Put it somewhere where you're going to look at it. Put it in your billfold or in your pocketbook. And let's commit today to be praying for God's hand to move in Brazil. And then in just a moment, we receive our offering. In addition to our regular tithes and offerings, we want to give you the opportunity, if you would like to give to the Brazil mission, and this will specifically go to that school that Pastor Miles talked about, feel free to do that as well. And, of course, that is, in addition, a tax-deductible write-off that you have by giving to that mission that you give to the church, and we will then announce how much we're sending over there. But as God leads your heart, you're welcome to do that in addition to what you give to the Lord regularly. But I want you now, just in just a moment, you're going to look at this video. As this video plays, you know, don't, just for a second, don't be thinking about what you're going to eat later. Don't be thinking about the 1 o'clock football game or I got to get to the mall and catch that sale. I want you to be looking at the video and ask God this question. God, how do you want to use me? And maybe for some, maybe you're ready to say, Lord, just as it says in the Bible, send me. Maybe that's you today. And so as this video comes up, I ask you for your undivided attention and let God's Spirit speak to your heart. Maybe even as you're thinking of people in your own life, people that you heard about on stage, the rehab house, and maybe you have an affection for that. You heard about Pastor Lindenberg, this bus driver. Just be offering them up to the Lord in prayer. God hears your prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And that can go on right now as you watch this video. So take a look at this video. I'll come back and lead us in a prayer for our offering when the ushers come forward. Then Pastor Miles will come and lead us in song.
Jesus, turn and walk away. What a shame.
escape, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. My friends, let us be witnesses to our family and friends. Let us be witnesses to this little world together as a church. And together we're going to let people know the love of God together. We're going to receive our offering, so our ushers are going to come forward as they do that. I want to encourage you to take out your connection card and make sure you place it in the basket, especially if you're new. We give you a special welcome today. And we'd love to meet you. I'm going to be out front after the service as well as mine.